Alright, so we had a special request last week to discuss a little bit more of the topic that we left off with last week, where last week we discussed why the nature of the reward, why the fact that the reward for mitzvos is Olam Haba, why that makes it into the Iker, why that is part of the 11th principle. And so we discussed last week about the nature of Olam Haba and what the kind of, I guess, throughout the past two classes we had, we discussed the kind of a contrast between the nature of reward in this world versus the nature of reward in Olam Haba in the world to come. And we touched very briefly on the opposite side, on punishment, the bad stuff that could happen to a person if they don't do what Hashem says. So this week we're going to try and focus more on that idea. What is the punishment for Averos? So the Rambam in our chapter, in our introduction, says the Yisod, right, the idea of reward and punishment. He said that Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards the people who keep the Torah, punishes the people who violate the Torah. V'shegemuru hagadol hu ha'olam haba. The greatest reward is Olam Haba. That's what we discussed last week. The Onsho ha'chamor, and the most intense, the most stringent or severe punishment is ha'karis, or hikaris, is karis, which is a difficult word to translate, but just for simplicity's sake, we'll just call it for now spiritual excision. Karis means cutting off, but the idea is spiritual excision. So we're going to try and understand in the Rambam the nature of this highest level of punishment, when it applies and where it applies. And I just want to, before we start, point out that this is a very, in the writings of the Rambam himself, this is a little bit of a sticky issue, because the Rambam writes different things in different places about it, and it's something which is beyond the scope of one 45-minute class to cover the totality of it. There are different things he says with varying implications in different places, but we're just going to try and focus in for our purpose on one point. So we'll start with just a little bit of the complication of what karis is, what it means, what it could mean. The Ramban in Sefer Vayikra in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches, I think that's what we're looking at, yes, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches. So the Pasuk Chaf Ches, I'm sorry, on the Pasuk V'nichrosu ha'nefashos osos mikarev amam. So the Ramban there has a lengthy discussion of what karis is. So first he quotes Rashi. I'm not going to focus on Rashi. Says that that karis is zaro nichras v'yamam nichrasim, that his lineage is cut off, and he dies young and his lineage is cut off, which basically means that he is totally severed from existence if he doesn't have his own life and any remnant of his descendants, that his line is totally cut off. But we're not going to focus on Rashi. The Ramban now goes into three, or maybe four, but two of them are really kind of two halves of one point, different levels of what karis can mean. The Ramban writes, Vehine, the krisus v'torah shlosha inyanim. There are three ideas, in three concepts in karis in the Torah. Ha'echad shene'ar abo v'nichras ha'ishahu. The first one is that when the Torah says v'nichras ha'ishahu, that man gets karis. V'asheni shene'ar abo v'nichrasu ha'nefashos ha'osos. V'nichrasu ha'nefesh ha'hi milfanai. The second one is when the Torah says that nefesh, that soul gets cut off. Vashlishi shenemar bahen hikares tikares hanefesh ahi. When the Torah says double language of karis, which I guess conventionally we just translate as he shall surely be cut off, that soul shall surely be cut off. So three levels. You've got nichras ha'ish, you've got nichrasu hanefashos, and you've got hikares tikares hanefesh. So the Ramban goes through what these three things are. We're not going to go through the whole Ramban, but just brief survey here. He says, Ubirainian, Kia Ocho Caleb Odam, the Hutzadik, a righteous person, which means a person who's generally keeping the Torah. Verubo Zakrios, and mainly he's got merits to his credit. Aval Gavra Tavasalab, but you know, it happened one time that his tithes, his desires overcame him. V'nichshal ba'avera ha'hi, and he stumbled in a certain avera for which the associated punishment is Paris. Yichrusu yamav v'yamos v'ne'urim kodim she'agir l'mezikna. That person will die young. This is what the Talmud describes Paris. At one point, Talmud says the person is going to die before the age of 60 as an application of the Paris punishment. That's nichas ha'ish ha'hu. That man is cut off. The aim not shall be kites. His soul is not cut off. Avayi alo chelak ba'olam neshamos kvi aroyim mice of a tovim. He will get his chelak in the spiritual world. Kitzadik haya, because he was righteous. Vayi alo ol chelak olam haba, and he will further get a portion in olam haba in the world to come. Hua olam sha'achay atchia, which is the world after tchias amesim. Now, just as a little aside here, the Ramban here is talking on his own terms, which is that the Ramban, which I think it's safe to say is really in the majority here of like the consensus of opinions, but that basically when a person dies, they go to somewhat of a spiritual holding ground called Olam HaNeshamos, the world of souls, and the world of souls are there for until Tchias HaMesim, at the point of the resurrection of the dead. So then they the soul rejoins the body, and resurrection of the dead kind of introduces Olam Haba, the world to come is the world after resurrection of the dead. When the soul rejoins the body, then comes Olam Haba. So there's two stages, Olam and Hashamos, the world of souls, and then the world to come. So the Ramban says that someone who got this Karis of the Karis HaIshahu, right, V'nichas HaIshahu, that this level of Karis is someone who's generally righteous, he dies and he's cut off in this world. But every part of the spiritual world he's still shayach to, still relevant to. He goes to the Olam HaNeshamos, he goes to Olam Haba, he has all of that. Then, V'asher imachit chamor, if the guy who did this serious sin of Karis was a person who had more sins than merits, then the sin that he does reaches his nefesh, reaches his soul, after it separates from the body. And he is cut off from the Olam HaNeshamos. He is cut off from the world of souls. And this is what the Torah is hinting to when it says that the nefesh is cut off. Now, specifically here, the Ramban identifies the Olam HaNeshamos, not Olam Haba, but just the Olam HaNeshamos. He's not cut off from the world to come, from the final reward, but he is cut off from the Olam HaNeshamos. Right, he brings verses, fine, skipping, and then as a second half of this part, that someone who his sins were more than his merits, and part of his sins was the sins that were done. I'm not going to get into the nature of these sins with that his body is involved in the sin. He goes down to Gehenna and he's there for 12 months. And after 12 months, his soul is burned up, and the wind scatters the dust, the ashes of his soul, under the legs of the tzaddikim. And then there's an even more serious karis, in which his body and his soul are cut off. Someone who says that he has disgraced, or he has debased the words of God, and he has renounced his mitzvos, and he shall surely be cut off. Vidarshu and Chazal expounded that this means, what is this double language of Hikaris, Tikaris? Hikaris Olam Hazeh will be cut off in this world, Tikaris Olam Haba, and Tikaris will be cut off in the next world. Shalo Tichaya Nasho B'Chiyasa Mesim, he will not arise in the resurrection of the dead, V'Ein Lo Chelik Olam Haba, and he has no chelik, he has no portion in Olam Haba in the world to come. V'Ein Ketel Hikaris Hazeh Hanema V'Torah, Elo V'Inyane Avodah Girulim Umegadi. This double lashon, this double language of Kares in the Torah, is only by Avodah Zarah, idolatry, and Megadeth, somebody who, so to speak, he provokes God, or he insults God. Basically, someone who goes very, very overtly and flagrantly goes against God. V'rabosinu darshu bo'od Masech HaShavuot, Chazal add on to this in Masech HaShavuot, ki dvar shem bazav ha'poreg, all somebody who completely disregards the incumbency of mitzvos, u'megal panim b'torah, somebody who intentionally misinterprets the Torah, v'as mitzvoso hafer, in the second half of the verse, that he has renounced the mitzvah, Zah Meter Bris Bachar, somebody who renounces his Bris Milah, Avainu B'Kol, okay, fine, but Avainu B'Kol HaKrisos, but does not apply to, this is not all Krisos. So basically the Ramban here has three levels of Kares. We've got the fellow who is mostly good, but has done an Aveir of Kares. We've got a person who is mostly bad and has done a sin of varying degrees, and then you've got someone who did these unique level of others, Avodah Zarah, Megadeth, Dvar Hashem, Bazra, Porik, all these things that are more severe, and that person is the person about who it says, Hikares, he will be cut off from Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and he's completely not coming back at Tlias HaMesim, and there's nothing left for him, that person is done for. So that's the Ramban's summary of the three aspects of Kares. So now we're going to try and understand what the Rambam is talking about, and we're going to work with, like I said, discussing in the Rambam himself. There's a lot of various implications, different places. The Ramban himself writes in Shaar HaGemul and a couple other places that the Rambam pretty much agrees to everything that he just said. We're not going to go through his proofs and his the pushback and all of that, but just for, let's say, ease of use, we're going to work with the Ramban. So the Rambam writes in the 8th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. We've seen this halacha before, because the first halacha here is where he describes, the first half of this halacha is where he describes Olam Haba, and he says, starting from the underlined part, Schar Tzadikim Hu Sheyizku Lenoam Zeh V'yiyah B'Tovazu, that the reward for the righteous is that they merit this good of Olam Haba, U'Piron HaRishayim Hu Shomo Yizku L'Chayim Eiru, and the punishment for the wicked is that they will not be there. The punishment for the wicked, the Rambam describes, is not, torture and pain and suffering. The punishment for the wicked is that they will not be present for Olam Haba. They'll be cut off and they'll be dead. Anybody who does not merit this life of the world to come, he is the person who is truly dead, and he is he does not live for eternally. He's cut off in his wickedness and he's destroyed, as opposed to the person who is not reach Kares, even though they might have done sins, they're still going to get a chelek in Olam Haba. So the Rambam, right, the person who's dead, who's died and they're buried, they're not really dead, because eventually they're going to come back. But this person is the person who is really dead. V'zehu ha'kares ha'kasu b'Torah, this is the kares that is described in the Torah, she'ne'emar, as it says, hi kares, ti kares, ha'nefesh ha'hi avona ba, mipiyash mu'alamdu, hi kares bo'olam hazeh, ti kares bo'olam haba. So the Rambam quotes for us this verse that the Ramban had cited which the Gemara in Shavuos, this is the most serious level. The verse that the Rambam quotes is the verse which we have associated with the most serious, severe level of infraction, which is the one where he said you have no cleaner than Olam Haba. Now just to further this point that the Rambam is only describing, meaning that not every kares, not every person who gets kares, who gets cut off, is a person who is at this point where they're completely done for and gone and they have no existence left to them. The Rambam in the third chapter in Hilchos Tshuva gives an exhaustive list of everyone who is ein lo chelek l'olam haba, everyone who has no portion in the world to come. And, you know, there's a lot of items on the list, but it's by no means, we'll see, there's a lot of things that are missing from the list. But the Rambam writes, this is the sixth halacha in chapter 3 of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam writes, Ve'elu she'ein lam chelek olam haba. These are those who do not have a portion of olam haba, ela nechrasin v'obdin, v'nidonim al godol rishon v'chatasim olam olamim. They are cut off and destroyed, and they're gone forever. There's haminim, the heretics, papi porsim, akobim b'torah, those who reject the Torah, v'akobim tliyas amesim, those who deny tliyas amesim, v'akobim the bias goel, somebody who denies that there will be a Messiah, v'ameshumadim, those who completely rid themselves of mitzvos, u'machtiyei rabim, those who cause others to sin, v'aporsha midarkei tzibor, those who disconnect themselves from the community, v'osil averos b'yad rama, b'farhesia, k'yoyakim, those who do averos with, metaphorically, with a raised hand, they do them publicly and flagrantly, shamelessly, v'amosrim, those who give over Jews into the hands of non-Jews, u'matili emal tzibor sholoshim shemayim, those who instill fear in the masses for no good reason, v'shofchei damim, murderers, Baalei Lashon Hara, those who speak Lashon Hara, Vamoshech or also someone who attempts to undo his bris milah. So the Rambam, it's not such a short list, but the Rambam, by now, you know, we have our classic example of a mechuyav kares, someone who eats chalev. Someone who eats chalev, the Torah says, gets kares. That's not on the Rambam's list here, right? That's not someone who's ein lo chelek olam haba. And everything else where, you know, there's a specific individual avera, the Rambam doesn't have any of those things which, you know, truma might be misim leishamayim, but all the different things that the Torah says you get kares for, those are not on the Rambam's list here. The only things on the list are very general categories of people. He has, you know, one or two specific examples, but they're generally more categories of someone who rejects all of the Torah, somebody who is a heretic, somebody who denies certain fundamental principles, somebody who does avir in public. The Rambam, when he says, who are the people who don't get Olam Haba, those are the people who in a very fundamental, categorical way have rejected or disconnected themselves from the Torah, from God. So which is further support for this idea that the Rambam is not, the idea of kares is not monolithic, right? There are multiple facets, and the Rambam, when he talks about kares, is talking about one aspect of kares. He's talking about one thread of kares, which, based on the verse that he quotes, is the verse that the Gemara says is talking about these serious infractions of Odeh Zara and all these other things that we just described. So, the idea of Kais that the Rambam seems to be describing is someone who has completely disconnected themselves from, who has in some way, in some serious way, disconnected themselves from Torah or the Torah community or God. So I want to just, let's call that part one. So step one is that the Rambam, what we're describing here, what the Rambam in our introduction said, Ha'onich HaChamor is HaKaris, that the most severe punishment is Kaaris. He's talking about these people who have disconnected themselves, this highest category of Averos that a person can do to disconnect themselves. Now, just for the sake of completion, I will throw out there that the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Sharashim, in Shoresh Yud Dalid, does say something which seems to make this approach in the Rambam difficult, and there are many who attempt to deal with this point in the Rambam, But the Rambam there seems to say that basically any time that the Torah describes Kares, that if the person dies without doing tshuva, without having repented from doing that, that they don't get a chelek at Olam Haba, becomes even more difficult, because the Rambam says the same thing about the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which says Ein lo chelek Olam Haba. It says Elu she'ein lehem chelek Olam Haba. These are the people who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. It is also talking about if you didn't do repentance. If you repented from one of those things, then you don't get the then you do have a chelek in Olam Haba. So it becomes further difficult without saying any explanation. It becomes further difficult because there's a special list in the Mishnah in the Sanhedrin which says these are the people who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba, and that list is talking about assuming you did not do tshuva. However, the Rambam in Shor Ishu Adalid of the Sharashim says that anyone who did one of these sins and doesn't do teshuvah, in some way doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba. So it's a difficulty in the Rambam, which I'm not going to try to get involved in. It's a larger topic, but there are some who want to say that there are different aspects of Kares, different levels. Maybe it means that in some partial way your soul will be, you know, partially cut off for having done one of these things, as opposed to these bigger things that we're discussing, your soul is entirely cut off. Not really our point to get into that. I just wanted to raise that for the sake of completion. But basically, just the basic point that I want to work with and going forward here is that the Rambam is describing these people who have, in some more flagrant and severe and overarching way, disconnected themselves. So, we saw the Rambam describes the kind of binary relationship between Olam Haba and Kares is basically Olam Haba is, or the schar is you merit Olam Haba, and the onesh, the opposite is you don't merit Olam Haba, right? The ultimate punishment is not being part of Olam Haba. Right? So, to understand why that is, the ultimate punishment is an absence from Olam Haba. So, this is going to touch a little bit on what we spoke about last week. I mean, make this a very appropriate contrast between these two things, but just, we'll maybe touch on what we discussed last week as we go along. But the Rambam, so to try to understand what the idea, the concept of being connected to Olam Haba is, and why this idea of being disconnected from it is the ultimate punishment, and why these people on our list are those who are disconnected from it. So the Rambam, in the very beginning of Mishnah Torah, of the Yad HaZaka, in the beginning of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, the Rambam writes, Yesod HaYesodos, the Amun HaChachmos, that the pillar of all pillars, the most fundamental point to know is that there is an original creator. And the Rambam writes, V'kol ha-nimtzayim min ha-shamayim v'aretz u'ma b'neihem, everything that exists in heaven and in earth and everything in between, lo nimtzu ela me'amitas himatzo, everything only exists from the authenticity of his existence. V'im ya'ala al da'as, and if it would occur to a person, a person would imagine, shehu eino matzoi, that God did not exist, ein davar acher yachol lehimatzos, nothing else could exist at that point. Skipping to Achadalad, Kusha Navi Omer, this is what the prophet describes, V'Hashem Elokim Emes, God, the Lord God, is Emes, he is truth, Hu Levado HaEmes, he alone is truth, V'ein La'acher Emes Ka'amito, and there is no other existence that is true like his existence. V'Husha Torah Omeres, this is what the Torah describes, Ein Od Milvado, that there is nothing else other than him, Kolomar Ein Sham Matzoi Emes Milvado Kamoso, there is no other existence that is Emes, that is real like God's existence. And this is what we described last week, that the Rambam has an idea of what we would call actuality, authentic, inherent existence, which is, that is defined, existence is designed, or reality is defined as, that's what MS is. God's existence is MS. It's real. God is the only real existence. Everything else only exists as a function of God wanting it to exist and God giving it existence. And the Rambam, I think we mentioned this last week, in the first of the Yud Gimel Ikram says that everything else that exists exists because God is on an ongoing basis giving it existence. But the source of existence and the only true existence is the existence of God Himself. And the Rambam describes that that's what it means. Ein od milvado, that there is nothing else other than Hashem, is that God's existence is the only real existence. The Nefesh HaChayim in Shah Gimel describes talking about this idea. The Rambam says, the Rambam Yivalashin says, it is the end of chapter 6 of Shar Gimel of Nefesh HaChayim. She'inyan yichud pasuk rishon b'tevas echad. The idea of the first verse of Shema, the idea of the yichud, the oneness of the word echad, the last word of the first verse of Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the idea that we're meant to understand when we say that, when we say Hashem is Echad, Hainu is Mechavin Shah Adon Yachid Baruch Hu, Hu Echad B'Kol HaAlamos V'Abrios Kulam, that God is one in all of the different levels and spheres of existence. Achdus Pashit Kimashmo, which means a simple oneness, just like it sounds. God is one, meaning there's, oh, that's the only thing. V'kulam nechshavim la'ayin, all of existence is as if it doesn't exist. V'ein od milvado yisbar v'gamay, and there's nothing else other than God entirely, absolutely. God is the only thing that exists. So the Nefesh HaChayim, applying the same concept of the Rambam, says the Ein Od Milvado, that God is the only real existence. The Nefesh HaChayim says what that means is that nothing else really exists. There is nothing else that exists. Everything else that exists is, in a certain sense, a facade. Everything else that exists is because God has propped it up to exist. But it doesn't. The only thing that really exists, the only thing that has an absolute existence, is God Himself. And the Nefesh HaChayim says that's the idea of Hashem being Echad. When we say that God is one, it does mean that He's not two, but it does not just mean that there's only one of Him and there's no other God. It means, when we say that He is one, it means that He is the only one, that there is only one thing in existence, and that is God. And even though we see so many different things and there are so many different elements and aspects and levels of creation, but that's all from the perspective of our perception. But in the MS HaDavar, in the reality of existence, there's really just the existence of God, and that is the only real existence, and everything else is just a propped up, so to speak, artificial existence. I think we went through this once before in I think when we're discussing the seventh principle, but that the Nefesh HaChayim says a very important caveat or disclaimer, that a person is not meant to function with this awareness, with this idea, with this perception. God gave us a perception of our own autonomy because that's how we're meant to live. We're meant to live with the perception of our own autonomy, and that's how God wants us to exist. But a person still, in appreciating God's absoluteness, needs to still be aware, let's call it in the back of your mind, that God's existence is the only real existence. His existence is absolute, and everything else is only there as what we could call an artificial existence. We'll see. That remains to be seen. Patience, young grasshopper.
Just get ahead of things.
My father listens to this recording. He'll be proud of that reference. Alright. So, we're now skipping to chapter 4 of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. The Rambam is describing somewhat the nature of the existence of the physical world, I mean of the spiritual world, or really of everything. And the Rambam writes that the Rambam describes that there are four fundamental elements. Arba'a gufama eru shehein ish v'ruach umayim v'aretz. There are four elements, which are fire and wind and water and earth. Him yisodos kol hanivraim lamatam in erikia. Those are the fundamental elements of everything that exists under the heavens. The kol sheyia me'adam u'me'behema v'ad romis v'dan v'tzomeach u'mateches v'avan tovim margolios. Everything that exists, man, animals, birds, creepy crawly stuff, fish, plants, metals, gems, pearls, sharav, binyan, stones, vaharim, the gushi alfa, the mountains, the dirt, everything. Hakol gomo mechuber me'arba yisodos eilu. Everything is some combination, some compound made up from these four fundamental elements. Nimtzu kol hagufim shelamata min arkiya. Everything which is under shemayim chutz me'arba yisodos eilu, except for these four elements themselves, mechubarim migolam v'tzura. They are all compounds. The golem shalem mechubarim me'arba yisodos eilu, and their form, their physical structure is some compound of these four elements. You know, the point is not the nature of these four elements, but just this point of the Rambam says that everything that exists down here is an existence, including man, is a compound of these basic elements. And the Rambam in Halacha Gimel here says, the kol ha-mechubar me'arba yisodos eilu, anything which is created from a combination of these four things, lahem hu nifrad basof, and the end is going to separate. It is going to come apart. Anything which exists from a compound of other elements, anything which is put together, is assembled, at the end is going to be disassembled. Everything is going to, at some point, going to have to separate out into its elemental parts, and anything which is constructed, anything which is put together, at the end is going to disintegrate into its different elements. That is the nature of everything that exists, is that there's one central, you know, piece that is a basic element, but everything which is put together at the end is going to separate, is going to come apart.
Isn't this a true
In a certain sense, but
basically that everything has an end.
That everything which is put together is going to separate, to go back to what it was. The Rambam then describes the nefesh. Now, just a brief point when we go on. In our terms, we have something called a nefesh and something called a neshama. And in our parlance, we normally refer to as the neshama being the higher aspect of the soul, and the nefesh being the lower aspect of the soul. In the Rambam's terminology, it was the other way around. The Rambam refers to the nefesh as the most internal, the most intrinsic element of the soul, and the neshama is the part of the soul which is used to connect the soul to the body. But so, just to not get confused with the words the Rambam uses, the Rambam writes in Halacha Tess, "Ein suras hanefesh hazos mechubaras min yisodos kedeshet v'kaylem." The nefesh is not made up of some kind of compound of different elements such that it would separate, such that it would come apart from them. Ella me'is Hashem min Hashemayim. The nefesh is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is an entity that exists from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, and therefore it doesn't even though the body may come apart. So I just have to get a cup of water.
What did the Rebbe mean when he said, 7?
That's the
fascinating part. What did the Rebbe mean by 7?
All right, I'm sorry about that. All right, so it says that Ella Yodas umasegas adeus aprudos minagomim the Yodas bo yakol the omegas the olam olame olamim. It says that the nefesh, it grasps HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is able to Yodas umasegas adeus aprudos minagomim, it is able to kind of separate itself from the physical existence, the Yodas Bore HaKol, and it knows the creator of everything, the Omegas, the Olam, Olame Olamim, and it stays in existence, it stands for all of eternity. So the Rambam here describes that you have basically all of physical existence, and then you have the spirit, you have the nefesh, and all of physical existence is a compound, it's something that's put together, it is something which is made up of other elements, and therefore it is eventually going to revert to its original, it's going to decompose and go back to its original elements, as opposed to the spirit, as opposed to the nefesh is not made up of other elements, it is the element, and it is godly, and therefore it does not come apart. The Rambam here is describing, basically, just to synthesize this into one idea, that which is not echad, that which is not one, is not real. And therefore, it might be put together, it might be assembled, but in as much as it is a departure from being one at its core, it can't stay that way. And eventually that is going to come apart and revert to those elements which are the most basic, which are in and of themselves one. Anything which is not one is not real. Anything which is not one is not authentic. The only thing which has eternal existence is that which is one, that which is not made up, not composed of other parts, because true existence is to be one, and anything which is a departure from that is not a real existence. And that, I think, is very related to what the Rambam describes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is an absolute oneness. That's why God, who is the ultimate one, and there is nothing that can be one like God's oneness, God's existence is the only real, true, absolute existence. And any departure from that echad, any departure from that oneness, is a disconnect from that absolute reality, and is therefore creating an artificial existence for itself, which at the end is going to come apart, which at the end cannot exist if it's not authentic. If it's not part of that oneness, then it does not have absolute existence. The last piece here, the hara, the hara hashlema, this is the Rambam earlier in the introduction to Parakhelet. The Rambam writes, "V'hara hashlema hihi karsus hanefesh v'avadana." The absolute bad that can come to a person is the cutting off of the nefesh and its destruction, its being lost. V'shalo tizke lihishar kayemes, and that it not continue to exist. V'hu hakaris hanizkar b'Torah. That is the karis which is mentioned in the Torah. V'inyan hakaris he karsus hanefesh. The idea of karis, says the Rambam, is the cutting off of the soul. Kemosha be'er v'amar he karis tikaris hanefesh ahi. There's that same verse again. The double repeated language of karis. The Amar Aleihem HaShalom, and the Chazal said about this, Hikaris Olam Hazeh, that Tikaris Olam Haba will be cut off in this world and in the next world. We will not have a Chilek in Olam Haba. The Amar Akasov, and the Torah says, V'hine, Kol Mi Shadavak V'Ta'anugim HaGufniyin, anyone who has connected himself, who has attached himself to the enjoyment of the physical world, Uma'as Ba'emes, and he has rejected, he has disgusted of the MS, Ubacha Ba'Sheker, and he has chosen Sheker, Nichras Me'osu Ma'ila, that person is cut off from that Ma'ila, that person is cut off from that level, the Yishayer Chomer Nichras Bilbaden, he remains Chomer Nichras, he remains this physical entity which is cut off. And then the Rambam goes in and he says, and the physical existence does not have kiyum, it cannot stay, it cannot last, and at the end of the day is something which is, it can't grasp, physicality cannot come to a grasp of godliness, That's the only real MS, the only real truth, and therefore it remains a physical existence, and it's cut off in that it has no way to connect to reality. The absolute idea of Kais is the absolute end of what Kais means, is that reality, existence is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God defines existence. Existence only has a reality to it, an authenticity to it, and a permanence to it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an attachment to real existence. And that's why the schar, as we described last week, the reward for the righteous is that they are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they achieve eternal existence. They exist, that's what the Rambam describes, that the Tzadikim Yoshmat or Itrosan Beroshem, Nanim Miziv Ashkina, that they are able to connect to God in such a way that they, so to speak, enjoy the divine presence eternally, that they connect themselves to real existence, that they connect themselves to MS, they connect themselves to reality. And anyone who does not connect themselves to that reality, anyone who is ma'as ba'emes, u'bacha b'sheker, anyone who rejects emes, they're rejecting the truth, they're rejecting authentic existence, and their onesh is that they don't exist, that they don't connect, because they have left themselves as a separation from that echad, from that true one existence, which is everything, and they basically have crossed themselves out of existence. They have deleted themselves from existence. Their eternal punishment is to not be connected to real existence and to remain part of that temporal existence, which they made what they placed as their primary mode of existence. They're connecting themselves to physicality. They're disconnecting themselves from the permanent reality of the existence of God. They remain that physical existence, and physical existence, as the Rambam described, and the terms Rambam said, it's something that's artificial. It's only made up of other things. At the end of the day, it can't last. It's not real. It's just put together for a short while. That person has disconnected themselves from true reality, and therefore that person, his end is to be disconnected from true reality and to not have an existence. And that is the absolute end of the person, of the ultimate punishment, is that the person is blipped out of reality. He is ceases to exist, is that he doesn't have, there is no authenticity to his existence, because the only real existence is the existence of God himself. Alright, next week we will continue with getting back to something maybe more basic to the general theme of this principle, and not next week, sorry, 2 weeks from now, because